Hi, welcome to Gridiron Gurus. I'm Travis Lazarczyk alongside Drew Bonifant for the Kennebec Journal and Morning Sentinel. Joining us this week is Messalonski head coach Brad Bishop. Coach, thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
It's week 7 of the regular season now. We're kind of getting down to where teams are fighting for playoff spots. Most leagues around the state, teams kind of know about where they're going to be slotted, except, you know, coach yours. The top five teams can kind of go anywhere at
right.
this point.
Right.
Have you ever seen this league this competitive? It's always competitive.
It's competitive.
But it's never been so competitive.
Yeah, and I think another reason, not because the teams are like they are, but the heel points, I think, is going to...
We're going to bring those up.
Screw things up.
Yeah.
So,
well, let's go right to it now.
Sure.
I was looking at the Crabtrees the other night, just
right.
what used to
right.
be used to decide playoff position.
Right.
Crabtrees, for those who don't know, are used where you just take a team's winning percentage, add it to the opposing combined winning percentage, multiply by 100, and there you have it. Heel points, a little more complicated. Take into account more who you beat than who you played. If we're still doing Crabtree points, your team goes from second place right now to first.
Right.
And Brewer drops a couple spots. Skowhegan moves up one.
Right. I think that if you look at Class C, especially, you know, the Gardner situation.
Right.
With one win, and they've stayed around 2, 3, and 4 all season. And there's not a big enough sample size, I don't think, in football to use heel points, I don't believe, in only 8 games. I just don't. I had this argument back almost a year from today when they thought they were going to do this and the heel points. I said, I don't think it's going to work right. Maybe it will at the end. I don't know, but I don't care for it, but that's just my opinion.
Well, in your conference, there's still a lot of big games where you're
right.
going to be playing Coney
right.
and Lawrence
right.
is playing Skowhegan and you, and so it's kind of going to shake itself out.
Yeah, we control our own destiny anyway, so
right.
you have to win to get in. So, I mean, we'll get in, but I'd like to have a bye that first week, actually. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, we'll get in regardless. But I just like to see it. I still like the Crabtrees better.
Yeah, you had been rewarded for playing Kennebunk
right.
and
like we were a few years ago playing
right.
Marshwood.
Right.
So.
What's the dynamic like when you're in a situation like this where, you know, you're this late in the season and the teams are so condensed that,
yeah.
you know, a loss can drop you far back, a win can propel you that far up, rather than there being some separation between the teams and the standings? What's it like urgency in practice and everything? Because it just seems like every week it's like, hey, we've got to win this one.
We're practicing the same way. I mean,
yeah.
we know we're in. We just like to get to that first spot, first or second spot. And we have to win regardless of who we're playing anyway. So mm-hmm. I would think if you were 8-0 and didn't play the top teams, you'd probably be 1 or 2, I think, regardless, I would guess. You know, Brunswick might get in with just one win.
Yeah.
So that's what they're looking for. And they'll be believe me, they'll be a tough out if they get in.
Sure.
They really
here.
Will be.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they got a good team. You know, I don't care what we played them a long time ago.
Sure.
And they've gotten better. And, you know, they'll be a tough out if they get in. There's no gimmies, I don't think, really, in our half.
Now, they seem to have kind of the feel of, you know, like when you look at the NFL playoffs and you get that 8-8 team that sneaks in, it's like, okay, they shouldn't be a team that you worry
right.
about, but just based on who they played and how tough they played.
Right.
Because they lost to Biddeford by one score, and Biddeford's been one of the tougher teams
right.
in the class.
Exactly.
So it's, yeah, it's not, they're not your normal, you know, 0-16 plotting
yeah, no.
around.
Gave Lawrence no. a good game last week, gave
right.
you guys a heck of a first half,
right.
so you pulled away late.
Right. No, they'll be yeah. tough. I mean, I think all these teams, you know, probably wouldn't want to play Brewer again in the first round either. So,
sure.
you know, it's a tough league. And people are getting banged up right now, too. We're a little banged up ourselves. And, you know, we're hanging on by a thread at a couple positions. So,
well, let's talk this week. Big game against Coney.
Yeah.
You faced one of the big passing teams in Skowhegan.
Right.
How are they similar to Skowhegan, and how are they different?
Well, I think they're a little different. I like this quarterback from Coney. He's mm-hmm. very competitive. He's a good defensive player. He's not afraid. They're not afraid to run the ball with him,
mm-hmm.
And I think that's a very good dynamic to have when the quarterback will run out of this offense. And I think he's a tough kid, a great competitor. He's a good defense. Like I just said, a good defensive player as well.
Yeah.
They're tough to defend as well.
Yeah, he's gotten better as the season
yeah.
went on. Look, like kind of throwing the ball was,
right.
was something that came
right.
a little tougher. And lately he's been really finding his rhythm.
I mean,
they're not
as prolific a scoring team as they have been in the past. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's still tough when they're all, you know, we're looking at tonight. They spread you thin out there, and it's tough to defend it.
And Jordan Rodney's a tough matchup for everybody.
Right. I think he's just going one way, I think. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's a very good athlete. You know, so he's tough to get a hold of, Corral, too. And We'll have our hands full.
I mean, so often people talk about the offense at Coney, and one of the big things that they've turned around so much is that the defense has been really good. That they have the number one scoring defense in Class B North, in the PTC B North End. From what you have you been able to see from looking at them, kind of where that improvement has come from? Has there been something that stood out to you about what's different this year than last year?
I was just comparing our game with Falmouth and their game with Falmouth. The scores are about the same. They only allowed 14 to Brewer, and we gave up, 33, I believe. And the Skowhegan game, it was in the rain, so that's a tough gauge. But I just think they're aggressive, and they got some size, and they fly around. They got a good team. They've won four in a row, I think, and they've improved a lot. They improve every year as the season goes on, it seems.
That was definitely the story last year. They were having a tough time matching up with a lot of teams at the beginning, and then by the end they were
young.
Brewer than they had.
They were younger last year, not young, but they had a lot of freshmen playing, I think.
Do you feel your team is improving, Coach, or is, like you said, hanging by a thread at some positions
We got some injuries, but our left tackle is our backup fullback, and this week he's playing center.
Right.
So, it is what it is, but I think when we're healthy, we're as good as anybody, I think. But then again, anybody can knock anybody off.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be that close. And I really don't think the home field matters a heck of a lot in this league, to tell you the truth. I mean...
No, you won on the road last year in the first round. So.
Right. Everybody is playing well, and it's always been a very competitive league. I mean, going way back in the history of Maine football, I mean, it's just a lot of good football towns. Even though a lot of these rosters aren't as big anymore, though, it seems.
Right.
There's not many kids playing.
Yeah. How is the league different than your first go-round with Lawrence going back 20
years?
Well,
you don't have Bangor.
Well, that's a big one, yeah.
No, seriously. Yeah. And that was the big challenge for every team back then. Bangor had 70 or 80 upperclassmen at the time. And, most of these schools around here still weren't very big compared to that.
Sure.
And they were the standard. Lawrence competed with them. For even after I left, they've always done well against Bangor, and now Bangor is just falling on hard times. They don't have a lot of kids participating in football. Soccer is their big thing there now, and it shows. But hopefully they can bring it back. But the league's always been balanced. You used to add Gardner and Winslow to it too,
and Waterville,
years ago
yeah.
in Waterville. And Jesus, it was a tough league. It really was.
I want to go back to something that you said earlier. You said one of the backup fullbacks is going to be playing on the offensive line. Now, who's that player?
Colton Shivari.
Okay. But when you look at the run game for your team, it's been kind of a balanced approach. I mean, Austin Pelletier has had the big season he's had, but Alden Balboni, Tyler Lewis, big ball carriers. How big an asset has it been for your team to have a stable of guys you can hand off to?
In our offense, the fullback's like a tailback.
Mm-hmm.
In the wing tee, he gets the bulk of the carries, and you try to divide the other ones up amongst the other two guys, so you can't key on any one guy. And I think we've done a good job of that, of distributing the football. And our quarterback's starting to come into his own little by little. He's only a sophomore, but he's got a good percentage, and he's thrown a few touchdown passes. And I think we're averaging over 8 or 9 yards a carry. So there's really not a need a lot of the time to throw right yet. I mean, probably in crunch time we're going to need to better as the season goes on. But then the weather gets lousy as the season goes on too. There's a lot of ways to skin a cat, I guess. I mean, we score a lot of points this year and last year. Just running the football and but it's good to have a good crew of backs. And then next year we, these guys are all gone. So we'll see what happens next year.
Right. Big game last week in Maine was Skowhegan at Biddeford, 56-54 overtime final, another shootout for Skowhegan, and the highest scoring game in the state of Maine since 2014 when Belfast beat Madison 82-60. Coach, you were in a
game.
That was just one where you just kind of just watch him go like a video game.
Yeah.
Coach, you guys were in a shootout game with Skowhegan a few weeks ago.
Right.
When you're in the middle of that, where everything's going right on one side of the ball and nothing's going right on the other side of the ball, what's it like? What's kind of take me through the thought process of trying to coach your way through a game like that?
It's nerve-wracking, number one. But number two, you know, my son was telling me to, you know, slow down, slow down. I said, geez, we're just running a belly play, and he's going 60 yards for a touchdown. You know, we're running the ball. And, you know, I really didn't feel comfortable, even though we had about, you know, close to a 20-point lead most of the time. You still don't feel that comfortable, you know, until it's over, you know, because they might onside kick it, which they tried, and so on and so forth. You know, we tried everything, man-to-man, two different types of zones, and, you know, it was just one of those things. And I keep telling people, if you look at the college scores, a lot of very high-scoring games in college football. Yeah. Because these offenses, you know, you can't – if you bail out of the box everybody, then they're going to run the ball inside. And if you bring everybody inside, they're going to throw the ball. So there's a fine line. You know, they ask why I don't do it. Well, you're going to – you know, I don't know what Skowhegan would do if that quarterback went down. That's – you know, you worry about things like that. If somebody – especially in that offense, if your quarterback goes down, I don't know what they would do.
Yeah.
It's funny because our JV – we played Skowhegan JVs twice and we split with them. And, you know, they're not as prolific at that level. So the next quarterback in, you know, you better keep your fingers crossed, I guess.
Yeah, you kind of have to build around to the talent you have.
Right. And – but, geez, they got a good team. I mean, I think they are. You know, they don't – and I don't know why their defense is like it is. I have no idea. I think if you, you know, our defense is, you know, hot and cold as well. I think, you know, when you have so many kids going both ways all the time and things like that.
Yeah, that has to be a factor.
Yeah, you just don't have the depth. And down in the western half, those teams, it seems they got three or four good defensive teams down there. So
sure.
I don't know. I mean, Marshwood only gave up about 12 points against them. I think it was against
Calvin. Yeah, 55-12.
Something like that. So, I you know, they must be a cut above everybody up here. That's the only thing. I haven't seen them play, but...
I've seen them twice. They're good. They're deep. So. It just looks like the Southern Division of Class B this year has got three or four teams that
they're strong.
Very strong. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they look like the pendulum was kind of in the north end last year, and now it's swung back to the south.
Yeah.
But Coach, when you're in a game like that, does the football fan you ever come out a little bit just this, even so much as to think like, man, this game's gotten really crazy all of a sudden, or
I just sit there and shake my head. I go, what am I going to do? Nobody can stop anybody.
Yeah.
Either way, and it was two different styles of football. I mean, really.
Yeah.
You know, we scored what, 57?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of points running the ball. I mean, basically, like, we scored in the first play of the game, we threw it, but you know. I mean, when it's second and short and third and short, you don't need to throw anyway. That's the way I look at it. I mean, and that's the way a lot of the times have been this year for us. So
yeah. If you're averaging 8 yards a carry, you're going to be short yardage often.
Exactly. So
let's look at some of the games coming up this week. Drew, what are some of the games that you're looking forward to?
I'm really looking forward to the Winthrop Monmouth and Oak Hill game. It's going to be. Oak Hill is currently sitting ninth in Class D South, and Winthrop Monmouth is currently sixth. So Oak Hill is a little bit on the outside of the playoff picture right now. They win that game, they pick up a lot of heel points. They're right back. They're right into the mix. Winthrop Monmouth, if they win this game, they might be all set. You know, I don't know if they'll have anything wrapped up, but it'll be a really good position. So it really does feel like, even though we're not in the last week of the season, like this is a. You know, a do or die game for both these teams. That a loss could really be a hindrance. How about you?
Well, I think every game in the PTCB this week could be interesting. Mm-hmm. I think your game against Coney,
right.
Lawrence going to Skowhegan, and a one win Mount Blue team playing at a winless Brunswick. It looks like the winner of that game is going to get the sixth seed. And another game, Mountain Valley at Madison. Two teams that don't really have a history together. Both fighting for a home field in the first round of the Class D South playoffs. That was a conference Drew and I were talking earlier.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of the year, we thought, geez, there's four or five teams in that league that can win it. And it seems like Wells has kind of pulled away from them with, you know, maybe Madison and then Lisbon coming right behind them.
Yeah, you thought it was going to look – that D-South was going to look like what C-South has turned into with a bunch of 5-1-6-0 teams there, or what Class B – what the PTCB has been like. And really it's kind of – like you said, it's turned into – there's been some separation there. It's right now it's Lisbon, it's Wells, and it's Madison, looking like they're pretty much the three teams that are out in front of everybody else. And they won't all play, you know, short of a playoff matchup.
Yeah, none of them have played the others. So
yeah.
Well, no, Wells and Madison have played.
Wells and Lisbon played, but is it Madison and Lisbon don't play? I think that's the matchup that won't happen unless it's a playoff matchup. So So it's just been interesting how what was looking like it could be a 5-6 team right. deep race has turned into a three horse race.
Yeah. Another game I'm interested in seeing is Old Town at Waterville. Both teams are 2-4, but that's a game where they're kind of fighting for that final spot in the Class C North playoffs. I'm sure you talked to your son Cam, who's coaching at Waterville, and they're probably looking at this game as a must win now.
Yeah. Who do they play last? Herman? Is it Herman?
I think it's Herman.
Yeah, they're a little bit better. Herman, you know, I don't know. I've seen Waterville play Winslow, and that was, you know, kind of a mismatch after a quarter. It's probably a toss-up, I would assume. I mean, they play Lake Region. That was a toss-up. That was a one-point game.
Yeah.
You know, they're struggling. They don't have a lot of it. Geez, they're as their enrollments drop, their roster sizes drop big time, I mean, at Waterville.
Right.
They're struggling to find enough kids to practice, according to my son. So, you know, it's always the different kids are absent one day, they're back the next, and so on and so forth. It's not a good situation to be in.
Well, they should have a good game against Old Town this weekend.
Right.
Okay, that's going to do it for us this week. Remember, you can watch us on centralmaine.com for all your high school football coverage needs and sports in Central Maine in general. For Drew, I'm Travis. Coach Bishop, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you next time.